You may be seated. It didn't include lightning and thunder in Petersburg, nor did it include a 7.8 earthquake in the South Island of New Zealand during the midnight. Let us sing the hymn that I've chosen, Be Still My Soul. It really sort of speaks to this text. Be still, my soul. Father, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. On the cover of our worship bulletin, not one stone will be left upon another. And from the end of the text, but not a hair of your head will perish. These are your holy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth, for thy word is eternal truth. Amen. Today we are just one Sunday away from the ending of our church year. And just two Sundays away from the beginning of a new church year. Thus, in reference to our historic church year, the text for today can be summed up in this way. The end is coming, and a new beginning is just around the corner. To help us get into this text which we just read together, I'd like to begin by taking you on a visit with me into the temple. Are you willing to come? Okay, let's go. I'd gone to the temple, like I do most every morning, to sit at the feet of Jesus, my teacher, from whom I have learned so much. It was pretty much like any other morning. All the regulars were there, like you guys. They were all there. But there were also some others there whom I had never seen before. Probably out-of-towners, maybe from nearby Bethany, or possibly from Bethlehem, or even a long ways away from Jesus' home, Nazareth. Whoever they were, I'd never seen them before. And I couldn't help myself from cozying up to them and eavesdropping. They were marveling at the marble pillars, wondering where they'd come from. "Never seen anything like this before," one of them whispered. "And the temple walls, quarried stone, shaved smooth." How did they get them so shaven smooth in those days? "Some huge, some small, all fitting together so beautifully. Where'd they get those?" one said. "And how'd they get them here? They certainly aren't native to Jerusalem." Their heads, their necks were crooked, their eyes heavenward, intrigued by the towering arches, brilliant frescoes covering the dome, intricate mosaics underfoot, and some on the walls, and everywhere, intricately designed and molded ceramic pots filled with beautiful flowers, sending their aroma into the air. I could tell by the looks of wonder on their faces how almost breathless, awe-stricken they were. Can you see me there with them in this holy place amongst these mesmerized strangers? One of them whispered something. "Did you hear it?" The silence barely broken. The whisper. "I did." "Unbelievable," she said. "God must be pleased with the house, this temple that they have built for their God." But you and I were not alone who heard. The teacher was nearby, and he heard too. Warmly greeting them, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." Stones not left upon each other? No longer whispering? Does that mean destroyed? The stranger asked. "Does that mean the end?" another queried. I also wanted to ask. I had a lot of questions, but I really wasn't feeling a need to ask because all of the things that I wanted to ask, they were asking, when will this be? When will the end come? They asked. How will we know when this will happen? Will there be signs to warn us? The teacher spoke, all kinds of things are going to happen. False prophets will arise and try to lead you astray. There will be warring between nations. There will be earthquakes, like in New Guinea or New Zealand. There will be famines. There will be plagues. There will be family upheaval, mind you. There will be betrayal, even murder within families. And if you are a follower of me, you will be hated for it. And then my imaginary visit to the temple ended. And I found myself back in Petersburg, in the temple, in the beautiful temple built by our forebears, many of whose names we see implanted on our windows. A beautiful house was built by the faithful for the God whom they loved and served. In this place where now I stand and you sit, where still today stone stands upon stone. Yet, in one sense, I feel that some stones have crumbled. I think one thing that Jesus left out in talking to the strangers that day in the temple in Jerusalem would go something like this. There'll come a time when it will be your duty to vote, when you'll really be torn as to how to vote, for whom to vote. And you'll maybe end up voting not for something, not for someone, but you may end up voting against someone. I'm not suggesting that this phenomenon is one of the signs of the end of the times, that the end times are close at hand. Only that it's a sign of the unrest that we are now experiencing as a nation in regards to our leadership and the frustration we feel in the crumbling of our traditional moral values of human decency, of honesty, of loyalty, of sexual integrity, of mutual respect for one another. In some ways, it feels like we as a nation are a crumbling temple. Our recent election has made it clear that our nation is seriously torn apart. A growing unwillingness to peacefully agree to disagree. Many people feel forgotten, disrespected, and ignored by others. Clearly, workers in the Rust Belt of our nation have felt ignored for decades. As mill after mill has been mothballed, their jobs move to foreign shores. they chose to speak strongly about it when they marked their ballot last Tuesday. Small towns, agricultural America, where unemployment soars and the use of mind-altering stimulants have infiltrated their conservative communities like you cannot believe, giving rise to thievery and murder in these quaint little towns. And I'm not making it up, because this is the way it is in my little town in Iowa. Stuff is happening there that we never dreamt would ever happen. Feeling unheard, they accordingly marked their ballots. At the same time, young black men feel discrimination that I can't even begin to fathom because of the color of their skin. They cannot freely do without fear what, because I am white-skinned, I can do with no fear. And what's even worse, taking it for granted. American Latinos fear for the togetherness of their families, afraid members of their families will be deported, children left behind because their illegal immigrant parents crossed the border pursuing the American dream. Muslim citizens of our country, irregardless of their devotion to serve faithfully in our military, even to give their lives for our country, gainfully employed and upright citizens, once peacefully woven into the mix of this immigrant nation, are now too easily looked upon as sympathizers with ISIS, not because of anything they've done, but simply because of who they are. Instead of one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all, there are many who feel imprisoned by their poverty, with justice only for the rich and the privileged, and no justice for them. Our temple, if not crumbling, is certainly cracked. Our integrity is questioned as a nation. Our world stature is diminishing, and the American dream is blurred. In the midst of all of this, I believe that God is calling us to be faithful, to be people of hope, and above all, to be a people who practice hospitality to all. As Christ cares for us, God is calling us in the midst of this turmoil to be caring for one another. At this moment in the life of our nation, God is calling us to extend our care beyond our family and our friends to those outside of our comfortable zones. We may not, with our hospitality, solve the problems of the south side of Chicago. With our hospitality, we may not solve the problems of Ferguson. We may not solve the problem of Dade County in Florida. We may not, with our hospitality, solve the problems of immigration or discrimination. But we can, by our hospitality, provide the atmosphere for healing and health in our own little corner of the earth, right here, our desire for this church ought to be that it be a warm and welcoming place where people can grow in love for Christ and can grow in love for one another, caring for and supporting them. If we can be this kind of a place, not only will we grow in love for our church family, but we'll be an open and welcoming door for others to join our family, giving us the opportunity to share what for us is the most important thing in our life, that we love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength. And that we care for those around us, our neighbors, with the same kind of love with which we are loved by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, loving anyone who thinks or believes differently than I do, than we do, is the most difficult kind of love to share. However, in our divided country, in our crumbling and cracked community called the United States of America, we are faced with this option, choosing to be stiff-necked or choosing to have a bending, caring, open heart. There is only one God. There is only one God, the God of creation. As children created by God, we thus are brothers and sisters. There is only one God, one Creator. Therefore, we are all brothers and sisters, like it or not, black or white, yellow or red, Christian or Jew, Muslim or Buddhist, agnostic or atheist, gay or straight. There is only one God. There is only one Creator. We are all brothers and sisters. While I find much of this gospel text to be lacking of much good news, finally, at the close of the text, it comes, the good news. But not a hair of your head will perish. As scary as it has been for many, during this election year, and from this day forward, I am putting my trust in God, that our temple will not crumble. For we have this promise that not a hair on our head will perish. I am going to put my trust during these difficult days in God. God will see us through. We are going to be okay. Let us ask God for help. In the words of this prayer, let us pray. God, our refuge and strength, you have bound us together as Creator God in a common life. Bring peace, bring wisdom, bring unity to our nation as we face internal division and anger. In all of our conflicts, help us to confront one another without hatred or bitterness. Help us to listen to your voice amid competing claims. Help us to work together with mutual forbearance, love, and respect. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Let us sing the first verse. For my soul.
Be still, my soul.